Psalm chapter number 11 is where we're going to be at, and looking forward to this Bible study tonight, this message, Psalm chapter number 11. In this chapter is probably what many would consider a famous verse, or ones that you've heard quoted or maybe even preached before, and that's found in verse number 3. It's one of those great questions of the Bible when the Bible says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And so that's the question that is asked. What can the righteous do? And it's I've heard people preach out of this text and talking about the foundations we build our lives upon and the importance of a foundation. The foundations are huge. They are, foundations are important, the most important part of a building. Yes, sometimes buildings settle, but if the foundation's wrong, it can actually shift. And I've heard people preach about this message and preach about this verse, talking about the foundations and building a strong foundation. And I think you can make application about that, but I don't believe that's what the context of the passages of Scripture is talking about. Because if you look in verse number 4, it's talking, David is here, and he says in verse number 4, the Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven, his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. It's the reference he's saying here. Yes, he says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? But the righteous foundation is never going to be destroyed. It's Jesus. I mean, if we even think about when it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, as a Christian, as a believer, if you're sitting there and you fill your life with a bunch of junk and you fill your life with a bunch of worldly things, you're not going to be strong. You're not going to be settled. You're going to be weak in that idea. But if you're right with the Lord, and if you're a born-again believer, nothing's ever going to change that. And I think about that, what can the righteous do? And that's what David is here. There are people, it seems like in verse number 1, it says, and the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And every commentator, every person I've read after looking at this verse 6 that says when they think it happened is when Saul is there and Saul's trying to kill David. Remember when he threw the javelin, and then even Jonathan was trying to tell him, hey, look, you need to head out, you need to leave. And David here at this point in time doesn't run. He even says here, he says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And that there are people there trying to convince him, David, hey, you need to run for your life. King Saul, he's a maniac. He's evil. He's trying to put you to death. And later on, David does end up fleeing for his life. But at this point in time, he says, I'm trusting in the Lord. You can try to encourage me, even well-meaning, good-intended people say, oh, no, you need to stop this. You need to stop that. And there's a danger here. And that danger is getting out of the will of God. And that there is a danger, yes, that Saul presents, but what's the greater danger? Not doing what the Lord wants you to do. So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous can trust in the Lord because their foundation is never destroyed. Verse number 2 begins to give a picture of the evil or the wickedness that is out to get the righteous. It says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. He does a great job painting a picture here. We think about it, how the bending of the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. The arrow is there. It's getting ready to shoot. And then it says that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. That word privily gives the idea of doing something in darkness. And that's what a lot of people do. If they're trying to attack the upright, they can't do it face to face. Instead, they'll go and talk, and they'll talk behind people's back. They'll do things in darkness that they'll never do in light. If people aren't willing to communicate and aren't willing to talk, they want to shoot the arrow. They want to harm somebody. They want to harm the upright, but they're not even willing to have a conversation about it because their ways are backwards. Their ways are wrong. And you think about it. If you're there and David is winning the hearts of the men and women of Israel. And as they're there, you can imagine what some of the people might be saying to Saul. Remember, Saul's jealous already. He's full of rage. He's already heard the women singing about how he's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000. And he's already been set aside. And already at this point in time, telling Samuel says, look, you no longer, the kingdom's being ripped from you. And he has people that are around him whispering things, saying, that guy David's out to get you and this and that, and begin to say things. And they say things in the dark. And what's happening is that his annoyance with David is coming even to a greater level, and Saul's rage and his resentment, they take root and they grow into this anger to the point where he even tries on more than one occasion to put David to the wall. And that's when David's friends are coming alongside and said, hey, look, you need to get out of here. You need to run for your life. And David's like, all I can do is trust in the Lord. And he says, why? He says, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And that's when you come to verse number 3. This is David under this context. He's there. There are people trying to get him to run for his life. He talks about the wicked. He talks about how they're trying to hurt him. They're trying to harm him. They're walking around talking about everybody else, and they're talking behind their backs. They're saying these things to Saul. Even Saul himself is trying to get Jonathan to see that David's trying to steal his throne. David hadn't done any of those things. But there were people out there doing whatever they could to maneuver and manipulate, to do things that were wicked. And that's when he comes, and that's what he says, I'm not running, I'm not doing anything outside of God's will. And that's when he says, if the foundations be destroyed. And when you look at it, the kingdom, you know, the king is on this throne, and you know, that should be a foundational principle of the society they live in. The king is supposed to be just, supposed to be right. Saul obviously isn't. And he says, what can the righteous do? And that's when he says in verse number 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. David's like, God's still in his temple. God's still on the throne. He even says it here. He says, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Now, you think about what he's saying. Verse number 6, the wicked, they're going to be punished. And that's what David is saying. My foundation is not in Saul. My foundation is not in those that are talking bad about me. My foundation is in the Lord. And you know where God is. He's still in his temple. He's still on his throne. And he said, I can just trust in him, because this is what the end for the wicked is. And shall rain snares, fire and brimstone. Verse number 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Lord, help us to understand the importance of building a foundation upon which you've already laid for us as believers. And that in our lives, we need to build our foundation and continue to read our Bibles and continue to pray and commune with you and continue to just build up our faith. But Lord, help us to see that no matter what happens in this world, there are certain things that people cannot take away. This world cannot take away. The devil cannot take away. And is that's the eternal security you give a believer. That's also that you're sitting on the throne and that you will always do what is just and you'll always do what is right. And when we ask this question, what can the righteous do? We look at this story and we remember we can trust in the Lord. No matter how dark it seems, no matter how much it might seem like you've left the throne, you never have, and you never will. God, would you help us tonight? Remind us of some wonderful truths, because there are times when we are faced with trouble, and there's times when we're faced with problems. And Lord, help us never lose sight of trusting in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you take notes, we're going to have 3 points tonight. There's 3 different points I want you to think about. It's the danger we face, the deliverance we have, and the design God has for our lives. The danger we face, the deliverance we have, and the design God has for our lives. And when we look at that passage, it's I like the passage of Scripture. I like that verse number 3, because it's asking that great question in the Bible. When God's asking a question in the Bible, he's not looking for answers. God already knows the answers. But what he's doing is he is trying to get us to think about something. He's revealing something unto us. He's revealing something about ourselves, or he's revealing something about God to us too. Because God already knows all the answers. And when he asks this question, David does, he brings this up, what can the righteous do? There is something that we're remembered, because there is dark times that we have. So you think about the danger we face. And the reality is there's danger out there in the world. There is. The truth of the matter is we're going to face problems. Even in the story, he says in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of trouble, of few of days and full of trouble. What is the Bible saying there is you're going to face problems. You're going to face hardship. You're going to face difficulties. They've never painted a picture that says, hey, once you become a believer here in this world, you're never going to have any other problems. You're not going to have any issues. You're not going to have any situations that make you feel uncomfortable. It's probably pretty much the complete opposite. He says, when you're being pushed for what you believe and you're trying to live righteous and you're trying to do right, and you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have hardship come into your life. You're going to have problems that come into your life. You're going to have issues that happen. And that's exactly what's happening in David's life. David is not minimizing the fact that there is a crazy king that's out there trying to kill him. He doesn't minimize that. He doesn't say, you know what, you guys are just blowing this up. This is not really that big of a deal. David has faced enough problems, enough issues in his life, just like all of us. Reality is you're going to face problems. You're going to face circumstances that are above what we're able to handle. God does that on purpose, so we'll learn to trust in him. But I would encourage you to side note, just make sure that you're not doing that because you're living a wicked life. That's not what David. David has not done anything to bring this trouble upon himself. But sometimes it is our sin that brings these problems. Sometimes it is the things that we have chosen to build a foundation upon that makes us weak and unstable. That's not the case what David's saying here. What is being said about David is the reality is there is a big problem, there's a big issue, and it needs to be dealt with. And what his friends are saying is, David, you got to run. David, you have no other choice but then get out of here, flee to the mountain. And David's like, only thing I can do is trust the Lord. And the reason why is because even if God removes Saul, because that's what we usually want, isn't it? God, remove the Sauls of our life. God, if you will just get rid of this problem, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be another Saul. There's going to be another issue. There's going to be, if you look in the story of David, he was blessed by so many different ways and so many different things, but he still had to deal with the lion. Then after there was no lion, he had to deal with the bear. And then after there was no lion or bear, he had to deal with his older brother, and who says, hey, what are you doing here? What do you think about that? And then he had to deal with Saul not trusting in him. Then he had to deal with Goliath. And then he had to deal with Saul again. And he had to deal with problem, Absalom. He had to deal with all these things. And what he's saying here is, it's what can the righteous do? Because if I'm building my life upon trusting in the king or trusting in my country or trusting in my abilities, if I'm building my life on some other foundation than the Lord, what's the righteous going to do when those foundations crumble, when they're destroyed? But David says, I'm trusting in the Lord. So the first thing I want you to think about is there is a danger from the people that are around us. Yea, and all that will get live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There is a danger around with that. There truly is. If you try to live for God, you're going to face problems. You're going to face people talking about you. You're going to face people misunderstanding you. You're going to face just out there. It's amazing some of the things I've heard and seen over the years of what people will say and do to try to attack somebody that's living for God. And the problems are going to be there. That's not the most dangerous thing. What's the most dangerous thing? It's when we get out of God's will. It all boils down to this. You say, Pastor, there is a man there that is trying to throw a javelin at David. And you're saying that's not the most dangerous thing? Well, not only did he try to throw the javelin, he took hundreds of men to try to go and get him. But David, because he was in the will of God, was able to hide from him. And because he was listening to the God and he was letting God lead and direct his life for the most part in those areas, guess what happened? He was preserved. And because he was preserved, he became king. And because he became king, he was able to bring that great godly line and all those different things. So what happens? What's the greatest danger? The greatest danger is getting outside of God's will. And sometimes we like to create things. We like to get these things. I got to do it this way. I got to flee to that mountain. I can't trust the Lord to take care of this. Instead, I got to act in a fleshly, a worldly way. You know what you're doing? You're leaving the foundation that God has placed there for you, the trust that God can take care of this and God can take care of, move whatever he needs to move. And that's what David's saying here. He says, how say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? He says, I'm not leaving the Lord. And you see in verse number 2 that they speak of how people act and how they misbehave. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. You come to the spot and they're there and you see how they act. And it blows my mind sometimes when people, as we mentioned last Sunday night, people do things and then in the name of the Lord. He says there are going to be times when they persecute you and they harm you to say all these bad things. And they do it in God's name. They do it because they think they're doing God a favor. And that's just not the case. But what's the great danger is if I step outside of God's will, if I stop trusting the Lord, if I stop doing what I know is right, that's the most dangerous spot you can be. Forget the fact there's the crazy man with the javelin. Forget the fact there's that 10-foot tall giant. Forget the fact that there's a son there that wants to kill the son, kill his own father. If David gets outside of God's will, that's the most dangerous place they can be. The safest place you can be is right in the center of God's will, even if it means that the storms are raging, even if it means that the clouds are dark, even if it means that there's a storm around you all the way. Trust yourself in the Lord's will. Because there is the danger we face. Yes, there's a danger that is out there that man provides and that Satan provides, but there's also a deliverance. Not only do you see the danger, you see the deliverance. Look what it says in verses 3 and 4. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The eyes behold his eyelids, try the children of men. This is his answer. He says, there's deliverance. There is. There's deliverance is there. It's from God. And I can imagine, I don't know if it's in 1 Samuel chapter 19 when Jonathan's the one who's trying to get him to, trying to get him to run. And he's saying, I can't leave now. I haven't been directed by the Lord. Or maybe it was one of his friends. Who knows what it was? But he says, I can't do that. And then he brings him away from, stop looking at all my circumstances. Stop looking at all the different reasons why I should be afraid. And come, look at the deliverance that God offers me. Look at the deliverance that God promises me. Look at the fact that God still judges the evil, still judges the right. Look at this. I got to stop living underneath my circumstances and say, I have to do it this way. I have no other choice. But instead, stop telling me I have to run and do the things the way I think they should be done. Instead, help put my trust in the Lord. Why is that? Because the Lord is in his holy temple. Now, once again, at this point in time, the temple has not been built. It's referring to a tabernacle. And it says the Lord's throne is in heaven. You know, God's still on the throne. There is a deliverance that's offered there. Go ahead and take your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we see that there's something happening here, and it's happening inside the church house. And there's people who are making up lies or teaching false doctrine, and there's a foundation that's there. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look what it says in verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. It's a familiar verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And referring to being diligent here. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we need. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to make sure that we're faithful in our study. That way we're not going to be ashamed. But then not only does it give us an encouragement, something we should do, but it says, but shun profane and vain babblings. How many times people want to listen to gossip? They want to listen to things that are wrong. And it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. If you begin to swallow something that is unbiblical in teaching, you're going to have to keep on letting it grow and grow and grow to the point that they had to keep on making up more things to make the original lie a fact. But the same thing when it comes to other foolish things. And it says, and then when it says here, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So there is here, he says, look, make sure you study the word of God. Make sure you rightly divide the word of truth. Stop putting your own thoughts and your own thing. Make sure you're diligent in your study and following it. Shun these things. Don't listen to your own profane and vain babbling. Study the word of God. Don't listen to others because it was going to eat as stuff a canker. And he says, and look what the end result was, this heresy that was being taught, that the resurrection is past already. They're even overthrowing the faith of some. But look what it says in verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. even though that there's people there that were telling lies and they were overthrowing the faith of some, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So it all boils down to this. Yes, there are going to be people who talk. Yes, there are going to be people who do wrong. But there's a foundation that is sure. There's a foundation that's true. No matter which one of those two people were saying this, and it pictures as if Timothy is dealing with this, and these people were in your church. Can you imagine having these people in your church? And they're saying these things that are error, and they're saying things that are false doctrine. And he says, look, no matter what anybody else says, there is a foundation that is true. There's a foundation that will never cease. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ apart from iniquity. Don't put up with that stuff, type of stuff. He says, why? Because there is a foundation that's true. There's a foundation that's sure. And having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And I know it's a different principle, but it's wonderful to see that we're supposed to study the Word of God, and we're supposed to stand strong in the Word of God, and we're supposed to refuse things that is profane and that is vain, that is worthless. And that is so much of conversations today, that they're vain, they're worthless, and they're sometimes they come to the point that they're profane, and they gather and they get more, and they build and they build and they build to the point that they begin to eat like a canker, and people just buy it. And they're like, oh, really? True? So go back to Psalm chapter number 11. What if you got those two guys that are saying the resurrection's already passed? God's foundation is sure. Study the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. Be diligent in the Word of God. Build your foundation on Jesus Christ, because he's the foundation that will never, ever fail. No matter what happens in this world, they cannot take away your eternal security. No matter whatever happens in this world, no one can knock Jesus off the throne. So there's a deliverance that's there. And no matter how much someone harms you, no matter how much someone is going after you, there is a foundation that will never change. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to threaten you with heaven? I mean, if they take you out of this world, what is it? How far can they take you? How much? And once again, I know it hurts, because we mentioned to you already the danger we face. There is a danger out there, and there are people that harm you. Don't be that person. Don't be the person that's listening to it. That's why he says, refuse those things. Don't listen to those things. But at the same time, get into the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Study, you show thyself approved. But remember, there's a foundation you're building on. Now, this week, I was tempted, you know, the application, you're thinking about, what am I building my foundation on? I know there's Jesus Christ. Obviously, I'm born again, but am I really spending my time to make my life strong and make my life supportive? Am I layering down that studying to show myself approved? Am I building upon biblical principles? Am I building upon the fact that I want to be a prayer warrior? Am I building upon the fact that I want to be faithful? And what am I actually spending all my time making my life look like? What am I taking and putting so much effort and time into? Because I know sometimes it amazes me. Sometimes people will take an hour or 2 hours and think they're doing God a favor by just showing up church for an hour. But then they'll spend multiple hours on social media. They'll spend multiple hours watching a TV. They'll spend multiple hours in a hobby or multiple hours in a sport. And not that there's anything inherently wrong with all those different things, but at the same time, what am I building my foundation upon? Yes, your foundation is going to fall. It's going to fail if it's not built upon Jesus Christ first and foremost, but your life is going to be a wreck if you're not doing something that is causing you to get stronger in your Christian life. Third thing I want you to think about, not only is it the danger we face, and it is a danger that the world has to offer, but the greatest danger being is out of God's will. Think about the deliverance. You love the fact that God's on the throne. He's still on the throne. He always will be. But look at the design for your life, the design God has for your life. And I began looking at this, and I considered deliverance. How is it that God wants you to live your life? Look what it says here at the end of verse number 4. For his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. I think that's kind of an interesting passage, an interesting way of taking it. You know, you think about when you're trying to focus in something, sometimes your eyelids get to a point where you're trying to look at one certain thing. God sees it all. There is nothing out there that God does not see. There's nothing that God does not experience. There's nothing that God cannot be a part of. He knows it. He knows in the idea that he knows everything that's happening in your life. Then he says, not only does he try the children of men, but he says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. And you look at this. He says there is someone here, he tries, which is the righteous, but those that are wicked and those that love violence, his soul hateth. And then listen to the punishment. It says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. You think about it. Consider what the evil is going to look like someday. Consider what's going to happen. Yes, it may look like God's advocated his throne, but he has not. He is still God. He will, in the end, the wicked will be punished. In the end, things will happen. And when I think about the fire, the brimstone, I think about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. But also today in the service, we looked at a little bit in Revelation chapter 21, talking about the no more tears, the no more death, the no more pain. But just a few verses later, it says, but there is another group that is going to be an eternal fire, eternal damnation for all time. There's a stark difference. There's a stark contrast. There's the word but that's found in one of those verses that says, hey, look, this is how wonderful heaven's going to be someday, but this is how horrible hell is going to be for those that do not have there. And that's what he's saying here. There is righteous and there is wicked. And with the righteous, we must learn that he loves the righteousness. He loves those that do right. And this is verse number 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. It's as if you can see the face of God. And I know you can't see the face of God, but you can see you're beholding what God has, that we would seek to see him, that we would seek to be a part of his life, that we would seek to know him better. So what is God's design for our life? I think it's found in verse number 1. And the Lord put on my trust. He said, Pastor, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm experiencing. This is happening and this is happening. And I love the fact David wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You look at David's life, it was a roller coaster. And there was a lot of high points. But he faced some things that we would never, ever face. Things that are trials and situations that we're overwhelmed by. And we just get blown off course and says, I can't serve God anymore. This is too hard. This is too much. I got to keep on doing my own way. I had to clearly ignore certain things in scriptures, like forgiving someone, like being one another. I had to clearly ignore how I need to reach out to the lost and how I need to do this. I had to clearly ignore certain things in scripture because I can't do those things because of my situation. That's not what David's saying at all. David's saying the complete opposite. I've put my trust in the Lord, and you're telling me to run for my lives? He says, I can't do that. And the reason why I can't do that is because my foundation is sure. My foundation is found in God. And because my foundation is found in God, I don't want to do anything that's going to step outside of his will. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause me to stop seeing that he's in the throne and he's on his throne and up in heaven, and how he tries the children of men. But not only does he try the children of men, as it talks about in verse number 4, he tries the righteous also. He looks at those that are wicked and how they're living. He sees that, and it might seem like they're winning, but there is a payday someday. But then he looks at the righteous, and he's looking for someone he can bless, and he's looking for someone he can be a part of. And he says, hey, that is a life that I can bless. Blessed is the man. But also, you think of Matthew chapter 5, all this different beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, you know, there's a lot of different things that he says, this is the life I can bless, because he tries both of us. And David, I love this. He's like, what can the righteous do? I can trust in the Lord. But Pastor, you don't know what's going on. I just lost a loved one. You can trust in the Lord. Pastor, I can't get along with this person. You can trust in the Lord. Pastor, the finances aren't there. You can trust in the Lord. Pastor, my grandchildren, they don't love God like I wanted to. My children aren't doing what they need. We can trust in the Lord. Why is that? Because he's still on the throne. No one's going to knock him off. He's still in the same spot, and we can trust him, and he can deliver us no matter what the hardship is, no matter what the heartache is. And he's trying our hearts. He's looking for someone he can bless, and he loves. It says in verse number 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. He wants you to do what's right. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what anyone's saying. And I can imagine what those men that, you know, Saul being king, he being leader, people would have no character and have no backbone, is going to tell them exactly what they want them to hear. Oh, David is bad. David is wicked. David is evil. David's doing this. David's doing that. And it's just feeding into Saul this frenzy, to where Saul tries to kill him. And David's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. I'm going to be righteous because this is what God does. He sits on his throne. He judges the righteous. And if God wants me to stay, I'm staying. If God wants me to go, I'm going. And that's what happened. So there was a time when God says, you need to stay. Don't. And he had such a wonderful testimony on this time. And then there was a time when it was time for him to run and go. And what does God do? Leads and guides him all through that wilderness. Keeps him safe. Holds to that promise. It's the same deliverance he offers for us. But we must learn that he has a special design for us. And that is righteous living in verse number 7 and verse number 1, trusting the Lord, even when others may say, hey, it's greener on the other sides. You ever had somebody say, hey, maybe you should leave this ministry or leave this church or leave that or leave that job or leave that. You do what the Lord wants you to do. The greatest danger of our life is stepping outside of God's will. And I love the fact that David here is saying, you're telling me to run, and I know you got good intentions. You don't want to harm me, but I need to make sure that I'm not going to do anything that's going to get me out of God's will. My foundation is on God, and I must learn to build that foundation more and more. So this past week, I looked at my life and did a little bit of inventory and saw, okay, how much time do I really spend building upon that foundation, Jesus Christ? And how much of my time do I waste with fluff, things that really don't matter? And am I building a strong life? Am I building a life that is disciplined? Am I building a life that loves the Lord? Am I bringing more things in my heart, bringing more things in my life? Once again, if we feed our flesh, you know what's going to happen? We're going to become stronger in our flesh. If we feed our spirit, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to become stronger in my spirit. So I cannot spend hours upon hours upon hours doing certain things that feed my flesh and expect my spiritual side to get stronger. There's more than just a few minutes of, hey, I got my devotion time, I'm done. It's walking with the Lord and it's understanding what he desires for. He's looking for righteous living. And that's what building upon that foundation, building a strong life. It can't be just hit or miss. And I know it's Wednesday night. You're here at church on a Wednesday night. You say, well, Pastor, we're the faithful ones. You are. But inside of our life, we must say, I'm going to keep on doing this. I can't get outside of God's will. Yes, it might be easier to run to your mountain. It might be easier to forsake whatever's causing you the problems, whatever's causing. It'd be so much easier not to deal with it. It'd be so much easier to ignore it. That's what they're telling David. David, just get away. David could have made his own army up. This time, they already loved David. He's already been wise going in and out. David could have came and had his own coup and go in there, knocked over and overtaken Saul. He could have done that, but that wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's plan. So sometimes it might seem easier. Hey, forget this. This is too hard. This is too much. I'm going to run somewhere else. I'm going to do it. And David's like, no, I'm trusting the Lord. The Lord's my foundation. He's still sitting on the throne. I need to do what's right. I need to do what's right because I don't want to get outside of his will, because outside of his will, the evils, they're there. They're like that bow. They had their arrow is pulled out there and they're not fighting fair. They're doing things privily, as we mentioned in verse number 2. They're doing whatever they can behind the scenes to manipulate and try to get what they think is right. And that's what those men were doing with Saul. And that's what Saul was trying to do. Oh, David's like, I'm trusting in him. Would it be easier to go to the mountain and just wait? It would be. But that's not what God wanted me to do. Be righteous. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Build upon that foundation. Build that spiritual life. Don't step outside of God's will. Do what he desires for you. Like David, when someone says, man, you need to get out of there. You need to stop. They're pushing you too hard. And sometimes it's easy to listen to someone like that. You're like, oh, yeah, you know what? That's good. And sometimes it is the right time to walk away or step from a relationship. I understand that. But we need to make sure that we're trusting the Lord to lead us and guide us. Because the greatest danger we face is not what this world throws at us, not what the devil can throw at us. The greatest danger we face is when we stepped outside of God's will. Because at that point in time, we lose the protection. We lose his provisions, and we lose his leadership. What can I do next? We're not going to know what to do if we're not listening. Instead, we're going to do what we think is right and best. And how many of us know that can be a mess? I know I've tried it myself. And boy, it can be a mess. Let's pray.